Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, we talk to local leaders who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, SE Day, Nan Holmes leads this conversation that was recorded July 9th, 2019 in the KWBU studio.
Hello, I'm Nan Holmes, and welcome to this edition of KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. Today, I'm joined by SE Day, Director of Library Services for the City of Waco and Waco-McLennan County.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Let's start with your early days. Where did you have your beginnings?
Oh, wow. I'm originally from York County, Pennsylvania. I grew up in the city of York. It's a mid-sized to large city, probably an hour away from Philadelphia, Harrisburg, Baltimore, if you're familiar with the area. So just born and raised in York County, met my husband, got married at the age of 21, had two children. My husband decided shortly thereafter we were married that he wanted to join the Army, and he joined the Army. He was only in for 4 years, but during those 4 years, we lived in Georgia and California, and they sent him over to Korea. And he said, I didn't want to be in Korea for 1 year without the family, miss the wife and kids. So when his time was up, he left the Army. And I tell the story, Nan, because a lot of people think that he retired from the Army, and he didn't. He got out of the Army and started his own business. He was a painting contractor for 30 years. And so very proud of him for that. So I just wanted to say that. And in that time period, just was had a lot of small jobs, you know, retail, restaurants, just, you know, part-time jobs. Was a stay-at-home mom for 13 years. And that's when I was volunteering in the local public library and for my children's schools, PTA, you know, all the stuff that stay-at-home moms do. And I was working in the small library, and it was about the time when computers were coming out, like early 90s. And the manager said, hey, Essie, we know that you know how to use computers. What do you think about working here at the library? And I said, no, I'm volunteering. I love my volunteer work. I don't need to get paid. And the funny story is, Nan, I go home and I tell my husband, you know, I said, they offered me a job. And I said, oh, no, I'm doing it for free. That's okay. He immediately said, what, are you crazy? You better go back and tell her that you'll get paid for the job. So that's actually how I got started in libraries. I just as a volunteer, and I knew how to use computers. And so I worked in York, Pennsylvania for just a couple years. And then while I was there, I decided to go back to school. And when I decided to go to college, I was older. I was in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And I had been, like I said, working part-time in the library system. And I wanted to advance in the system. And they said, you can't without a college degree. And so I said, okay, so how do I make this happen? Because at that point, I knew that that's where my heart was, my passion was. I wanted to make it a career.
Well, that is very, very interesting. So how did you get to Waco?
Oh, well, I came to Waco for the job, but what happened was my son went into the Air Force, and he was stationed down in San Antonio. I forget the name of the Air Force base. I'm sorry. But he was down in San Antonio, and he graduated from basic training. And so we took a trip down to see him graduate, of course. And we drove down from Kentucky. And so on the way back, we stopped in Waco. You know, we went all over Dallas, Fort Worth. We searched all, you know, took the time to take a vacation, and really loved Texas. And so went back to, I was living in Kentucky at the time, was a library director. And at the same time, my husband was wanting to retire.
Yeah.
I saw it open, and I applied, and we came down and took a look around. And we really, really liked everybody. They were so kind and so nice and generous and so accepting of outsiders. So I just applied, and here I am.
It's not my mother's library anymore.
Oh, that is so true.
And I, in June, one reason I wanted to visit with you is I read a very interesting article in the Waco Tribune-Herald about the library and about you. And I was really found it fascinating. And to quote that article, the library is thriving.
It is. We are doing such good work. I have the best staff. They give 100% every day. They come to work with a smile on their face, raring to go. And, you know, sometimes I think they roll their eyes when I say, hey, let's try this or let's try that. And then I say, just trust me, guys, let's try it. And they are so willing to just try something new. And they're so dedicated to what they do. I am so proud of all of them.
Well, you know, when you do, you've got a whole new world. Mm-hmm. Do you think back to people who influenced you and set you on that path of your leadership style?
Well, I would say my number one influencer would have to be my husband, because he was somebody who did get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to work all day and run the business and was very successful. And he does not have a college degree, and he's a self-made man. And I just admire his work ethic so much. He's, you know, a wonderful father, wonderful husband, terrific employer to his employees. Aside from that, in all of my jobs, I've had some wonderful managers, wonderful influencers like you asked about. Here in Waco, when I first came to Waco, Wiley Stem was my direct supervisor. I don't know if you know Wiley. He's now the city manager. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was the deputy city manager, and he was my supervisor. And, you know, no matter what time of the day or evening I called him, he would answer, very responsive. And so I think he's a great leader, and he's somebody that I look up to. You know, and now my supervisor is Bradley Ford, and he's equally as accommodating and just really terrific men and great leaders. And I just hope that I can be a leader like that. They're just great.
I think that's so interesting that you have found leaders right now, not mm-hmm. way back, but you continue mm-hmm. to just meet people who can
always
help you develop your leadership skills.
Absolutely. Early on, I had some great leaders in my libraries. There's a woman, Stephanie Hill. She was in Tennessee when I was there. Fabulous leader. I'm still in touch with her today. You know, that was back in 2009. 10 years later, I still talk to her. And, you know, I said, I learned more from her in 3 years in Tennessee than I learned 10 years anywhere else.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a wonderful, wonderful leader, and turned out to be a great friend, too.
That's an amazing yeah. combination, I think.
Absolutely.
And back to the library is thriving. I read about the outreach van, mm-hmm. and I was thinking, is that the old, what I used to know is the bookmobile?
Oh. A lot of people think that, Nan. They're so excited when we talk about this. Well, it's not really. It's more of a bookmobile where people come on the truck to look
check
at
out books.
Right.
Yeah.
In this case, we are going to be taking boxes, crates of books in two places. So we wanted to reach out to an underserved population mm-hmm. in Waco, and that's our senior citizens. And, you know, senior citizens really need to stay connected to people. It's good for their health. It's good for their social well-being. And all the studies have shown all of this. And seniors have a hard time coming to the library. And they're great readers. You know, they grew up reading, coming to
mm-hmm.
the library. And I have friends who say, you know, my mom can't come to the library anymore. I have to come bring her books. And, you know, what can you do to help? And so Jessica Emmett, she's our community mm-hmm. services librarian. She's been doing a ton of outreach, and she's also been hearing that from people. What about the senior citizens of Waco? And so we decided to get an outreach van where she can load up with books and take the books to the seniors where they are in assisted living facilities, nursing homes, community centers. So she will take the books, set up her little shelves. They can come downstairs, like in the lobby of their facility or the senior centers, and check out books. She'll have it on the laptop where she can just automatically check the book out to them. And so it's really for people who are homebound or people who can't come to the library. Mm-hmm. We'll bring the library to them. And our friends group were so generous. I have to mention them because they are paying for our van. And we just went yesterday and talked to Mike out at Bird Colgin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the interstate.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Highway 6 now.
Yes.
You're on Highway 6.
We were just out there, and so we're going to make that happen very soon, and hopefully we'll be on the road in the beginning of October.
Oh, that is fascinating. I'm just so happy about that. And I've often stated, because I'm a senior too, that reading saved my life, because the part of that salvation was every summer I would be enrolled in the reading programs. And that was a long, long time ago. But
yes.
There were no cell phones, tablets, electronic devices to distract from the joy of reading. And I suspect that even though things are, you know, all kinds of electronic doodads, that there are still young people who find refuge in the library in the summer.
You are so right. And as a matter of fact, Nan, that's how I grew to love the library so much and why I'm so passionate about libraries. Growing up in York City, I would walk to the library. It was about a mile from our house. Back then, you know, it was, I hate to say it, but a little bit safer. We were able to do that.
Yeah.
And I would just spend hours and hours and hours in the library. You know, it was an escape. I did not have a charmed life, you know, growing up. So I would go to the library to escape. And I was the kid that the librarians would say, "We're closing now, Essie, time to leave." And so just grew up similar to you, loving to read, learned everything I could from books. You know, they taught me so much, literally saved my life. You know, the library both physically and, you know, mentally saved me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I started working in the library. I just thought, this is it. This is not a career. This is my calling. You know, I was meant to be here, and I was meant to share that love and joy of libraries with other people. And right now, the American Library Association has a campaign going on called Libraries Transform Lives. And I believe that, you know, that a library transformed and saved my life, and it can do the same for everybody else. And like you're saying, children who come into the library, you know, even though they do have the tablets and the cell phones, and, you know, we do have ebooks and e-audiobooks, and we're happy to provide those to people that want them. There's just, to me personally, the joy of seeing a child with a print book, you know, in their hand is just the best feeling ever.
Oh, I'd love to read to my grandchildren.
Yes.
I read to my children, and people read to me. And that's what just... From the beginning, I fell in love with books. And you're also a caretaker for genealogy. And lots of people use the genealogy area. And thank goodness for all the people who gave their materials to the genealogy room.
Absolutely. Speaking of terrific staff, like I mentioned earlier, our genealogy staff is among the best in the state of Texas. Bill Buckner, Hannah, Alicia, it's only three employees who work in that center, the genealogy center. But they also have a terrific group of people, the Central Texas Genealogical Society, a wonderful group of volunteers who devote so much time and energy to helping the library. And Bill and Hannah and Alicia, they do monthly programs, quarterly programs. They're always trying to reach more people, and it's been wildly successful. And Bill Buckner's known statewide for all the work he's done in genealogy. So really proud to, you know, mention him.
Yeah, I would, to our listeners, if you're thinking about starting that, I would definitely recommend a trip to the library. And that is located at the main library? Or
the Genealogy Center is at the West Waco branch, the one by Target. We call it the Target Library. That's what everybody calls it. And he will get you started. And they have a class quarterly that meets beginning genealogers, so you can go and take a class. I actually took his class a couple years ago, and once you start down that rabbit hole, though, you're lost.
And people come alive, you know.
Yes,
they
yes.
Dust them off, and they come alive to you. Well, I know you. The library is definitely, from what I could read and what you're telling me, it's thriving. But what are some of your challenges right now?
Well, I would say some of our challenges are just getting the word out. It seems more difficult nowadays to get the word out. You would think it would be easier with all the social media and everything. And so we do all that. We do all of the social media. We do the print advertising, the online advertising. But I think part of our challenge is just getting the word out to people how much libraries have changed. You know, if you haven't been in a library lately, you don't know that we have ebooks or e-audio books. You know, you may not know that we have programs. We have a book club that meets once a month at local restaurants and establishments around the city of Waco. You know, a lot of people aren't aware of that. So we're doing so much more than ever before. You know, we check out literacy kits and we check out sensory backpacks. You were speaking of Talitha Kum earlier. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have sensory backpacks for children who are struggling with some of the sensory challenges like anxiety or autism, Asperger's. And these sensory backpacks have books and material and guides for parents and resources for caregivers. A wonderful, wonderful collection. We have blood pressure monitoring kits to help with health literacy, because that's, you know, a goal of the cities is to help with the health literacy wellness. And so we offer so much more than just books. Books are great and wonderful, and we love those.
Yeah.
But we have them in different formats now, and the other special collections and all of the programming. We have over 100 programs a month, you know, in all the four locations. So it's just getting the word out, you know, because people think of a library as, you know, you walk in and nobody shushes you anymore. You are allowed to talk and laugh and have a good time.
Well, each of the libraries has a special niche. Can you share about the different locations and what might be their specialty?
Sure. At the Central Branch, that's our main library downtown, and we have the largest collection because it is the largest library, and we have a terrific reference staff. So I would say if we have great reference librarians in all four of our locations, but the Central Branch has more librarians available, and we have our local history room in the Central Library also, so that's pretty important. I would say over at West Waco Library, that's our genealogy center. All four libraries have great, terrific programs, great, terrific children's librarians, children's staff, children's programs. So I can't single any one of those out because, you know, Nan, I love all my children equally.
Yes.
And so I can't say any one library is better than the other. I can just say they're all a little bit different.
Yes, that's what my point is.
Yes.
That you... There's even the whole village of, you know, libraries make up little, it's a little different at each one, just like the genealogy, children's programs, probably at all of them.
And at the South Waco Library, I think they're really interesting because they have formed like a community following. And so it's the type of library where you can walk to and you get to know the librarians. It's kind of like Cheers when you walk in. Everybody's like, hi, Travis. Hi, Barbara. They know everybody.
Oh.
And so that's a really nice, warm feeling. Over at the East Waco Library, we partnered with the Central Texas African American Heritage Foundation. And they have a display case that they rotate material out that is important to the African-American community in East Waco, and they do displays periodically. Like right now, they have one on A.J. Moore High School.
Oh, yeah, they just had their reunion.
Yes, ma'am, and they had their display in that cabinet, and so they have like a little museum there. So, you know, that's really wonderful that we can open up our libraries to the community.
Yes, and meetings and workshops.
Oh, my goodness,
I've been to
yes.
some workshops there with the foundations had different workshops there.
And we have meeting rooms and conference rooms and study rooms. You can just go online to our website and reserve it, and they're free. They have audiovisual equipment, and you know that's an asset to the to Waco because there's not many meeting room places.
Oh, yes.
You know, and then when people find out we're free, they're just so shocked. You know, how can you do this? You know, we want people in the library. You know, so come on down.
Yeah, and a new thing that I think is really good is that you have an extensive movie collection, too, that I never in a million years would have thought the library would have such a vast collection of movies, but they do.
We do. We have DVDs, and a lot of people think that we only have, like, older ones or nonfiction. We don't. We have the newest releases. So if a movie's just come out, as soon as it's released on DVD, we probably have it on the shelf. Well, let me correct myself. Maybe not on the shelf because it might be checked out, but you can put a hold on it and get in line because they're very, very popular.
That's great because that's kind of expensive for people are on limited income, and especially families.
Absolutely.
Who in the summer or all year round, it's good for them to have a place they can get something, and it doesn't cost even $3 or $4, which can add up if you want to watch a movie, you know, more than one a month.
That's true. And at all four of our locations, we do have extensive collections, and you are able to put material on hold from any one of those libraries and have it delivered to wherever you are. So if Central is your main, you know, library that you go to close to home, but West Waco has the movie or book, you can put a hold on it. We have a van driver who, you know, goes to all four of the libraries every single day, and he will pick it up at West and bring it back to Central, so you don't have to drive to the different libraries. You can just have it delivered to whatever library is closest to you. And we got a new catalog last year that has been fabulous for people to go online and put material on hold and you know, see what's available. And also you can go to our website and download ebooks and e-audiobooks to listen to. I know they're really popular with a lot of the men who travel for work. They tell us they love to listen to the audiobooks while they're driving. So now they got me hooked on it. I started doing it too. I was sitting out in the parking lot before I came in here just trying to get to the end of the chapter, you know.
What were you listening to?
It's called The Banker's Wife. It's a mystery. But I was like getting to the end of the chapter going, what happens next, you know?
Yeah, those are really
They're so much fun.
Like you say, distance traveling. Mm-hmm. They're really good. Yeah, my mother was a founder of a library system in St. John the Baptist Parish.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is in South Louisiana near New Orleans. And I remember they started out in just a little room, not much bigger than this, with just some books.
Yeah.
Just people donating books. And it took a long time. And she went back to college and got her master's library of science. And it was such hard work. Once it got established, is keeping it going. And I really wonder if you can say anything toward that.
It is a lot of hard work, but I don't consider it work. Even though I just said it's hard work, I recognize that it is. But I love what I do so much that it doesn't feel like work. You know, I'm sure some of my employees might not agree with that. But I just love it. I eat, breathe, and sleep libraries. You know, I am the geek who goes to libraries on vacation. You know, wherever we travel, I say, let's stop at the library and check it out and see what they're doing. I read everything I can get my hands on about libraries. A lot of people think we sit and read all day as librarians, and we don't. I wish we could, but we
don't. There's a lot of paperwork, I suspect.
There's a ton of paperwork.
And meetings.
And meetings, neither which are my favorite to do. But, you know, I once had a colleague say, we have to do the stuff we don't like to do so that we can do the stuff we love to do.
Yeah.
And so whenever I have to do a budget or sit in a meeting, you know, I'm reminded of that. And I go, you know what? I can put up with this budget meeting so that I can go back to the library, you know, and order some books.
Do you do the acquisitions?
I do some of it. I do the ebooks and e-audios. And we do have wonderful librarians and all of our branch managers. They select the books, and then our technical services supervisor, she, you know, technically orders them, places the order. But a couple years ago, I was feeling removed from that side of being a librarian, and I missed it. And I said, what can I do to help get that feeling back? Because, you know, any job that you work 80 hours a week, you can get burned out. And I didn't want that to happen to me. And so I said, I'll start ordering the ebooks, because we were struggling with two different platforms. And it was a challenge to order books for each one. And we had different people ordering books. And so in order to consolidate that process, I said, let me try it for a couple months and y'all focus on something else and I'll work on that. And I really wanted to get my hand on the whole process. And I love it so much that I said, may I please continue to do it? You know, and the librarian said, we love it too, Essie. I said, just let me do it for just a little bit longer. Just makes me feel like a librarian again.
That's
you know,
great story. You know, the New York Times Book Review rotates between the paperbacks, the ebooks, the children's books, yep. because there's so many genre now.
Oh, there are. There's so many different genres, so many different formats, different ways to get the material. And it's such a wonderful time to be in libraries. They just keep changing and growing. And I'm somebody who loves change. You know, I've lived in 7 different states in the last, 10, 15 years, and I love moving and I love change. And so I think I'm in the right profession.
Yes, I think you are. And one thing that when I called you is I realized right away you genuinely do have a passion for libraries.
I do. I do. Like I said earlier, Nan, I know that libraries can transform people's lives. They can save people's lives. Every community deserves a great library. And that's one of the reasons why I've been in so many different states and so many different libraries is I believe that every person should be in a library, and I believe that every community deserves a great library. And I discovered back in 2009 when I first got my library director's job in Tennessee, I realized that I have a gift that I can go into a library and see what it needs to be successful, what can I help? You know, I kind of have a servant's heart there with how can I help lead and how can I transform? And I don't do anything alone. So please don't think I'm saying I do it all alone. I have wonderful staff. In all the libraries where I worked, my staff just came in and believed what I believed and just wanted to do good work and provide those services. And that's one of the things I love about our current city manager is that he has a servant's heart too. And he always talks about how can we provide the best city services to Waco? The citizens deserve this. And I believe that with the library also, how can we provide the best library services to the community because they deserve it.
And if you're just joining us, I'm Nan Holmes, and this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm visiting today with Essie Day, Director of Library Services. I won't read that long name.
It is.
Essie, I love that name. It's an unusual name.
It is.
Is it a family name?
It is. I'm named after my grandmother, my father's side.
That makes it even more special.
Yes, yes.
Even though a library services is under the city of Waco, tell us a little bit about this McLennan County library system. And how anyone can get a library card.
Okay. We have an agreement with the county, McLennan County, interlocal governmental agreement was signed back in 1977, which said that the Waco libraries, the city of Waco, would provide library services to the county residents. And there were certain criteria we had to follow according to the contract. So we provide level 1 of service, and in return, the county gives some money to the city of Waco for that. Mm-hmm. And so right now what we do is once a week we deliver material to the 5 outlying county libraries, Hewitt, yeah. Mart, McGregor. We go all the way to West. And so anybody in the county can go to one of the county libraries, for example, go to the Mart Library, and request material from us. And we pull it off the shelf, pack it up in a box, and our wonderful van driver, Matt, takes it out, and he delivers it to Mart. And then the Mart librarian will call you and say, hey, Nan, your book you ordered is here at the library. You can come pick it up. And so instead of you driving all the way into the Waco libraries, we would bring the book to your local county library. It's free. Like I said, it's part of that service that we have, the contract we have with the McLennan County. And anybody can get a library card at any one of the libraries, Waco libraries, or, for example, if you have a Hewitt library card, you go to Hewitt, you say, I saw this book that I want from Central Library downtown Waco, and they order it for you, and we deliver it to them, and you pick it up from them.
Essie Day, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me. It's been such a pleasure, and happy adventures at the library for all our listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to come here today and share all the wonderful things the library has going on, Nan. It's been a joy, and anytime, just give me a call. I'll come on back.
All right. I'll do that.
Thank you.
This and past episodes are archived on our website at kwbu.org. Look for Central Texas Leadership Series under the Programs tab.